It's not so easy writing about nothing. That's what a cowpoke was saying as I entered the frame of a dream. Vaguely handsome, intensely laconic, he was balancing on a folding chair leaning backwards, his Stetson brushing the edge of the dun-colored exterior of a lone cafe. I say lone, as there appeared to be nothing else around, except an antiquated gas pump and a rusting trough, ornamented with a necklace of horsefly slung above the last dregs of its stagnant water. There was no one around either, but he didn't seem to mind. He just pulled the brim of his hat over his eyes and kept on talking. It was the same kind of silver belly open road model that Lyndon Johnson used to wear. "But we keep on going," he continued, "fostering all kinds of crazy hopes to redeem the lost, some sliver of personal revelation. It's an addiction, like playing the slots or a game of golf." "It's a lot easier to talk about nothing," I said. He didn't outright ignore my presence, but he did fail to respond. "Well, anyway, that's my 2 cents. You're just about to pack it in, toss the clubs in a river. When you hit your stride, the ball rolls straight in the cup, and the coins fill your inverted cap." The sun caught the edge of his belt buckle, projecting a flash that shimmered across the desert plain. A shrill whistle sounded, and as I stepped to the right, I caught sight of a shadow spilling a whole other set of sophisms from an entirely different angle. "I've been here before, haven't I?" He just sat there, staring out at the plane. "Son of a bitch," I thought. "He's ignoring me." "Hey," I said, "I'm not the dead, not a shade passing. I'm flesh and blood here." He pulled a notebook out of his pocket and started writing. "You gotta at least look at me," I said. "After all, it is my dream." I drew closer, close enough to see what he was writing. He had his notebook open to a blank page, and 3 words suddenly materialized. "Nope, it's mine." "Well, I'll be damned," I murmured. I shaded my eyes and stood there looking out toward what he was seeing. Dust clouds, flat bed, tumbleweed, white sky, a whole lot of nothing. "The writer is a conductor," he drawled. I wandered off, leaving him to expound on the twisting track of the mind's convolutions, words that lingered then fell away as I boarded a train of my own that dropped me off fully clothed in my rumpled bed. Opening my eyes, I rose, staggered into the bathroom, and splashed cold water on my face in one swift motion. I slid on my boots, fed the cats, grabbed my watch cap and old black coat, and headed out toward the road many times taken, across the wide avenue to Bedford Street and a small Greenwich Village cafe. Cafe Eno. 4 ceiling fans spinning overhead. The Cafe Eno is empty save for the Mexican cook and a kid named Zach, who sets me up with my usual order of brown toast, a small dish of olive oil, and black coffee. I huddle in my corner, still wearing my coat and watch cap. It's 9 a.m. I'm the first one here. Bedford Street as the city awakens. My table, flanked by the coffee machine and the front window, affords me a sense of privacy, where I withdraw into my own atmosphere. The end of November, the small cafe feels chilly. So why are the fans turning? Maybe if I stare at them long enough, my mind will turn as well. It's not so easy writing about nothing. I can hear the sound of the cowpoke's slow and authoritative drawl. I scribble his phrase on my napkin. How can a fella get your goat in a dream and then have the grit to linger? I feel a need to contradict him, not just a quick retort, but with action. I look down at my hands. I'm sure I could write endlessly about nothing, if only I had nothing to say. After a time, Zach places a fresh cup before